When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.
I actually wouldn't have left the house probably until I was about 20 without makeup on.
I never had a desire to have a beauty business, but then I realized God was using my gift of evangelism where I was.
Totally, he's made us perfectly, but we live in a broken world. Most of the women I see in that area of my work just do not feel good about themselves. They do not feel perfectly made. Life has battered them.
God provide 40,000 to people that believe in my vision.
God can go in and do that work on the inner self, but I think we can help. It's actually being able to see it, seeing that you're beautiful, and then that goes with the belief on the inside.
The Woman Alive podcast, in association with Mercy Ships. Available now on premier.plus.
Welcome back to another episode of the Woman Alive podcast with me, Tola Joel Fisher. Today, we are talking about the beauty industry, including skincare and cosmetics. On the surface, it's pretty easy to label the beauty industry as one big vanity project that lacks any real substance and only magnifies our insecurities. However, even the most committed Christian women among us, some of your favorite preachers and role models will likely have a makeup or skincare favorite, as well as potentially indulging in beauty treatments. However, from a Christian perspective, if God made us so wonderfully, why do Christians even need the beauty industry? Joining me to discuss this, I have Mariana Mathanen. Mariana, you are a beautician and founder of Grace on Wheels, which is a beauty van providing free treatments to women who are without homes or have been victims of domestic violence and or human trafficking. This year, you felt led by God to sell the van and open the beauty shop, and you're currently looking for a new owner for the beauty van. Amy Dias. Amy, you're a professionally trained makeup artist with experience in editorial, fashion, including London Fashion Week, TV, bridal, music video, and film. In your work, you're passionate about clean beauty and using sustainably sourced products. Your article for Woman Alive is the inspiration for the discussion that we are having today. Welcome, Mariana, and welcome, Amy.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Wait, I think for both of you, it's your first time on the podcast, and I hope that you will come back, and then you can be called a friend of the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
But before you get to be either of those things, you have to check your Christian credentials with this Bible quiz. So I'm going to read out the question, and then the three multiple choice answers, and then I will go to you individually for your responses. Okay, so the question, which Old Testament character was said at one point to have the most beautiful daughters in all the land? Was it A, Laban, B, Lot, or C, Job? So which Old Testament character was said at one point to have the most beautiful daughters in all the land? And the answers are A, Laban, B, Lot, or C, Job. Amy, what do you think the answer is?
I think it's C and Job.
Okay, how about you, Mariana?
I go for C also. I'm between A and C, but I think I'm going to go for C.
Okay, Job. I love that people give me the history behind their thinking, and it might be that. But Mariana, your final answer is C.
Yes.
Okay. The correct answer is C, Job. So well done to both of you. So he passed the test in Job, chapter 42, verses 13 to 15, it says, and he also had seven sons and three daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Keren Happuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. Okay, so we're talking about beauty today, and Amy, this is, or both of you, this is your industry, but the article we're talking about today, or we're using as a base, is the article that was an interview with Amy, and it was in a print issue, I think, of Woman Alive. So Amy, would you just mind reading out some of this article that we did with you?
Yeah, absolutely. God started opening doors early on and has blessed me with some amazing opportunities. As my freelance career has taken off over the last 3 years, I've been humbled by the series of open doors that have led to TV appearances, working on multiple London fashion weeks, having my work featured in magazines, and providing free services for women going through chemotherapy. God needs us in all walks of life. He works through everything, including makeup and skincare.
Thanks, Amy. And yes to God needing us in all walks of life. We actually recorded a podcast with two people recently about fashion, had a similar conversation around Christians dealing with the light in all industries, not just kind of sitting in the church and almost like preaching to each other. Mm-hmm. So, Amy, how did you get into the beauty industry? What did that journey look like for you?
It was towards the end of COVID. And I had been really quite unwell with my mental health during COVID. And I spent most of COVID, like probably each day at some point, doing my makeup, like going through, like practicing, just doing stuff. And towards the end of COVID, I just felt like it was time that I could maybe step out into something different and something new. And it was actually my husband who said, "You are obsessed with skincare and makeup. Like maybe that is something that you'd really enjoy." So that's kind of how I started. I got into training.
So growing up then, did you wear lots of makeup? Were you interested in makeup then?
As a teenager? I did. Yeah, I've probably been through different phases of life with how much makeup I wear and when I wear it. But growing up, certainly as soon as I was allowed to wear makeup, which was probably at the age of 12, I actually wouldn't have left the house probably until I was about 20 without makeup on. And then after that, that changed a little bit. And now I don't really care if I've got it on or not. But growing up, certainly, I think I grew up in a house where like you made the best of yourself. And it was kind of like just a reflection of you trying and kind of going out into the world and sort of almost like a social thing, not look at me, here I come, but just...
You've made the effort.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So just before I come to you, Mariana, with a similar question about your journey into the beauty industry. Amy, you did mention there that from the age of you starting to wear makeup up until, I think you said around 20, you wouldn't leave the house without makeup. How did you go from kind of, let's just say, I know this didn't happen literally, but an 11-year-old leaving the house without makeup and then suddenly 12 can wear makeup and don't want to leave the house without it. What happened there?
I think I'd had a desire for quite a long time to be able to wear makeup. My sister's 5 years older than me, so she kind of hit that age earlier than I did. So I watched her go through her makeup journey, and she was very into sort of looking lovely and glamorous each day. And my mum was very similar. So I think part of it was almost like joining the tribe, like joining that grown-up women's group. So I definitely think part of it was feeling like a grown-up and like a new part of my life starting. And once that had started, so I don't think it was always about people not seeing me without makeup. It was about being part of that next part of my life.
Yeah, understood. Okay. And last one to you again. Sorry, before I go to Mariana, I'm just interested in this. You grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
So the messaging you got from the church at the time wasn't in contradiction to how you felt, your family felt about wearing makeup and kind of going out and presenting yourself, as you said, the best that you could. You didn't feel there was any kind of contradiction there?
Growing up, definitely not. I felt that was okay. I think that kind of like conflict of what other Christians might think about it really started at university when I kind of went into a new place, I guess being thrown into lots of different Christians, lots of different Christian backgrounds. And I think, and also students are very expressive. we've got very strong opinions when we're students. And I found that was when it became more of a difficulty for me to know what was almost like right and what wasn't.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Amy. So, Mariana, you have an incredible project in the beauty van. How did that start?
So the beauty van, when I gave my life to Jesus, I started to question, what is my purpose? Why I'm here? I already was a beauty therapist. And I thought, I will leave beauty industry and I will do something else, because I was very involved with evangelism. And I was seeking God. I was like, God, what is your purpose? Why I'm here? What do you want me to do? I was doing different things in terms of evangelism, but was not really nothing that I know this is what God called me to do.
Yeah.
And in my work as a beauty therapist, I do have opportunity to share about Jesus, because the clients come to do their facials, their nails, and they talk about their lives, right? So I have a good opportunity to introduce Jesus. So in the process, I was like praying, and the answer came through a conversation in the phone with a friend. I was just telling her about a project, a Christian project that they help teenagers, and they have a big buzz. And I just said to her, Sarah, I'm going to transform a van into a beauty salon, and I'm going to offer my service free of charge to women that suffer abuse. Because I had a client that was going through abuse, and even though she was not a Christian, Jesus was helping her. So this thought just came on me, and I never heard of a beauty van before. I never saw a beauty van before. And when I finished that call, I literally Googled beauty van. I said, must exist beauty vans. So I just Googled beauty van, and I saw it's very common in America. So, and I said to the Lord, Lord, if this is your will, then you need to provide the fund, because I do not have the money for this. So, and the next day I just start to write it on my business plan. And then from that, this was in 2018, end of 2018. I talked with my pastor at the time. They kind of support me. And not everyone believe in the vision, but I always stick to the what God spoke to me, because I never had a desire to have a beauty business. People used to ask me, do you want to have a beauty salon? I said, no, I'm going to leave beauty, especially when I become a Christian. But then I realized God was using my gift of evangelism where I was. And as Sister Amy mentioned, God needs people from all walks of life and every industry. And as a Christians, we need to be strategically in different places. And that's how the vision starts.
Wow. So you were already working in the beauty industry. How did you get into the beauty industry initially?
So, I used to massage my mom. My mom used to say to me, oh, you are good at massage. Why do not take a course? So I took a beauty course, 2009. So that's how I started. And I started to work in salons in Portugal. I'm from Portugal. So then that's how I started in the beauty industry. Yeah.
Okay. And you said there that before, people have said, do you want to open your own salon? And you'd never wanted to. So were you, at the time, you were kind of just happy working? Were you working in other people's salons? Like, were you hiring a chair, that type of thing?
Not hiring a chair, but I will work for someone that will pay me monthly. Yeah. So, yeah, I was working in working spa and different hair salons. Yeah.
And then, so it was after you became a Christian that you started to think that you might need to do something different, which suggests that maybe there was an atmosphere or feeling around that being in the beauty industry wasn't somehow very Christian. Did you feel that, or did you think you were just thinking about what might evangelism look like for you in a more straightforward way?
A bit of both. I thought I kind of start to lose a bit of interest in the beauty industry, because I was doing a lot of evangelism and I was seeing God moving amazing in the streets. And I was like, that's what I want. This
want
is really
to do.
Exciting.
Yeah.
But from the moment that God gave me that vision, I really made sense for me, because I can be used where I am, and I can actually change people's lives from my workplace, from my room. Because people really are needy for something. They're looking for something. Mm-hmm. And we do have the truth. We have the solution that is Jesus. And that's an opportunity to share.
That's so interesting that I think sometimes we can get this impression that if we're not doing what we might think is like hardcore ministry, kind of out evangelizing, as you say, on the streets, or, you know, we're not Mother Teresa or Mary Curie or whoever, that we're not doing Jesus ministry right. But as you have both said, God needs people everywhere, and it seems like he's really shown out your gifts for both of you to be able to kind of minister to people,
absolutely,
especially women. Would you say God has called you specifically to the industry? Because obviously, Mariana, you're already in it. So do you feel that now you're setting up a physical salon, is that right? So there's something that you said ages ago that you definitely weren't interested in doing, now you're doing it. Kind of how did that come about then?
So it was through a prophecy. So I received a prophecy when I become a mother. I couldn't be doing the van, and it's not easy to find someone that is a woman and is a beauty therapist, is willing to drive a van. Yeah. And I had to kind of stop on the side, and I was just praying, God, like, what you want me to do? Like, I'm not, like, the van is parked there. So, and I was praying for this for a few months, and then I got a prophecy to sell the van and open a beauty salon. And I was like, okay, that was a confirmation. So, yeah, God, you have to send me. I would love, obviously, when you get a prophecy, you pray on that. And I would love that the van will carry on in a Christian ministry and someone that can continue to do the work. I didn't got the instruction on needs to be a Christian ministry, but that is my baby, that God literally provide the money for that van in a miracles way. I didn't have the money, but provide 40,000 to people that believe in my vision to build the van, to build everything that I did.
Incredible.
Sometimes, you know, some things doesn't make any sense, but I guess we just give steps of faith and see what God will do.
Gosh, that is really exciting. And especially about the provision, it's always really encouraging to hear these stories of, you know, God opening doors and saying something and then providing. Usually afterwards. Yeah. Usually I find God says, do this thing, and then provides after the idea has come about.
We're never going to have the money for what sometimes is calling us to do. That's why we need to walk by faith and see him to do it. When the vision seems to be, normally God is behind, I believe.
Absolutely. Okay, so Amy, I know that you do fashion week and you do weddings and you basically make people look more beautiful for various reasons. As a Christian, have you ever thought, well, you know, God has made us perfectly. He's created us in his image. Mm-hmm. Why then do we need makeup?
So totally, he's made us perfectly, but we live in a broken world. It's kind of the way I come at this. So yes, I think God wants us to know who our identity is in him first and foremost. I have, alongside my freelance work, I've in the last year opened up a makeup and skincare business as well in my local area, kind of offering appointments to women. And I'd say most of the women I see in that area of my work just do not feel good about themselves. They do not feel perfectly made. I think probably lots of them aren't Christians, but life has battered them, you know, life does it. It can really batter us. And the devil can take stuff from us, sadly. And so I think often for me, it's about helping remind women how beautiful they are, how much they deserve to feel good about themselves, not just look good. I don't think for me it's just about, can you look better? It's about the experience of feeling good. And I actually think that's a really beautiful thing, because if there's evil in this world that takes that from us, then how wonderful to be able to try and give it back to somebody. And I know that's in a superficial way, but I think the outside and the inside can work together, and the inside is more important. I would never, ever say anything other than that. The inside of us is definitely more important. But I don't think that means, therefore, that we can't give the outside love as well.
I really like that as an expression, that we should give the outside love as well. And Mariana, I know that some of your work with the Beauty Van initially, or your plans, were to work with women who have been abused and have experienced quite a lot of trauma. This is questions to both of you. Do you feel that when you are helping people look outwardly more beautiful, whether that's skincare or makeup, that it has an impact on how they feel inside?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. You know, we live in a world at the moment where people are slightly led by very led by the feelings all the time, which isn't necessarily right, because feelings come and go. But if a feeling that you have inside of worthlessness, or not feeling like you're good enough, or not feeling beautiful, I think it can be connected to with how you express yourself on the outside, or how you feel about yourself on the outside. And I think, so like kind of what, just really thinking about what Mariana does and what I do, I think it's part of the journey of helping someone feel good. It's not the only thing, you know, it's not the only way for somebody healing and feeling better about themselves, because only God can go in and do that work on the inner self. But I think we can help, you know, I think we can come in to that space and provide as to part of that journey.
Definitely, I think we can boost someone's spirit, you know, through the words. The word of God says that what we should say, it should bring life to people.
Yeah.
So when we speak life, that boosts someone's, like, even if they go through something, they don't feel beauty, they just sometimes need to hear a word of encouragement. So yeah, I definitely agree with what Amy said.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking this question a different way. If we were to focus on speaking life into people, like you just said, Mariana, isn't that what then makes people feel beautiful? Rather than saying, you know, I'll make you look beautiful and then you'll feel beautiful. What if we were just to kind of speak those words of life, speak those words of affirmation that come from God, that truth? Would that not be enough without then adding makeup on top of it?
I mean, I think they kind of maybe can go together. You know, I think, and this is probably based on the brokenness of our world, that actions and words have different effects. And I think words can be really powerful, but also actions can be really powerful too. Mm. So I think if the action of providing the skincare or the makeup or the beauty support is going with those words of life, then I think that's maybe even more powerful, because I think people really respond to action in quite a big way. Yeah. And I think also we are, and again, I don't know whether this is from God or not, but we are aesthetically pleased people. You know, beautiful things do have a power on us. The beautiful world around us has a power on us. And I think a woman looking in the mirror without makeup on, who maybe doesn't have great self-confidence or who's been abused and has had that taken from her, and then looks in the mirror and sees this, doesn't even have to be a radical transformation, just, you know, just kind of like a little bit of enhancement or something. It's actually being able to see it, seeing that you're beautiful. And then that goes with the belief on the inside, in my opinion. I don't know what Mariana thinks about that, but
I remember I was doing a voluntary work in a hostel, and one of the ladies, she said to me, she was not doing her eyebrow for 15 years. So when I made her eyebrow, it's like a simple thing, you know, she was like amazed, you know, and the conversation we were having, it's just like made like a difference on her, because she has been through abuse. She was at hostel with the kids, a single mom, and she forgot about herself. And a little thing that made remember who she was as a woman, you know, just eyebrow shape made like her life more colorful that day.
Mm. Yeah. And then I think also kind of taking into the fact that you have people who have been physically hurt and emotionally hurt in that way. But also there are loads of women out there who've, you know, got physical scars on their face, either from, you know, surgeries or a car accident or something like that. And again, it's that something's been taken from them. Mm. And that doesn't mean that they can't still be beautiful and feel beautiful, because I really do have quite a passion in my heart for women being beautiful and being able to feel that they're beautiful. But I think if somebody's been through something like that, then yeah, why shouldn't they be allowed to just kind of try and help themselves kind of adjust to their new features and where they are and how they want to then express themselves? I think that kind of can be quite a big part of this as well.
Yeah, some good points from both of you there. And I also, as someone who, I just love looking at beautiful things and beautiful people, and I will always compliment a beautiful person or a beautiful thing, I just look at the natural world around us, and that, you know, currently I'm staying somewhere which is near the water, and the birds are beautiful, their colours are beautiful, and this is how God has created them. But there are scriptures that are used in the Bible, I've noticed, specifically aimed at women, that would suggest that beauty is essentially nothing but vanity. So people use Proverbs 31:30, which says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." So there is something around some messaging being that the less you focus on your outward appearance, the more holy you are. That is something that I've heard, or the rhetoric that I know that is in the church. And so, Amy, just to go back to when you were at university, you mentioned that growing up in a Christian home, you didn't feel there was an issue kind of with makeup and dressing beautifully didn't contradict with your faith. But then going to university, you came across people who actually thought it was, and you've written that actually that made you feel quite bad about how you were dressing and how you were kind of going out into the world and presenting yourself, as you said earlier. So can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, it was actually a really, really hard time. It went on for probably a good few months. The Christian union that I went to, it was weird, the first year was so life-giving, And then the second year, I was kind of involved at the CU as well, and I was one of the leaders of one of the small groups. And we went away for one of our Christian Union weekends. And I mean, I was actually horrified by this. We were split into two groups, boys and girls. And we were asked to make a list of all the things that the other group of people did that made like sexual attraction too difficult, like that made you feel too tempted.
Wow.
And the girls did not have a lot to put on that list. You know, 19-year-old boys are either, I don't know, good looking, or you don't think they're good looking, or, you know, they don't do a huge amount on the whole to do that, you know, to help themselves, maybe after. And the list that came back to the girls' group was skirts, makeup, perfume, and it just went on and on. And as I sat in this group of women, I ticked every single box that said, basically, I was almost like a temptress.
Wow.
And it really hurt. And it really hurt because I didn't dress the way I dressed or put my makeup on. It wasn't for boys. I'm sure maybe there was a little bit of, if I fancied someone, maybe, but that wasn't the sole purpose of it. And I kind of crumbled inside. I just thought, obviously I'm a really unholy person. And I just spent kind of weeks just wearing joggers and no makeup and trying to be somebody different. But what happened was my light got dimmed. Like, I wasn't my same bubbly self.
Yeah.
I didn't have my confidence because I didn't really know who I was anymore. And I'm not saying makeup and short skirts made me who I was, but they were a choice I was making of how I wanted to express myself. And so having that taken away was quite a painful process. And so it took some time, and mainly Psalm 139 was what kind of helped get me back into kind of believing in myself. But yeah, it was a really hard time.
Sorry, has to go through that, Amy. And thank you for sharing so vulnerably. That sounds like a nightmare situation. And unfortunately, I think that's that kind of thing in different guises still does happen with women being told that how they present themselves is unholy because it does this, this, and this to men. Mariana, I know you mentioned that not everybody was supportive of the Beauty Van project that you had. Was that because it was beauty and it was thought not to be a Christian ministry or something else?
Well, I believe one specific person, it was because of that. And it was funny because at the time, it was a whole man and from my church. And at the time when I told him about the vision, he made a very negative comment. And I never was hurt about that. I was just like, Jesus, like, I give it to you, open his eyes. And funny enough, after a few months, he gave me a donation of 2,000. And I was very surprised. And then I found out that he thought, actually, the beauty was just vanity. Why are you going to do a beauty salon? But his wife and his daughters explained to him the importance of my work, share the gospel through beauty service to the woman. So he felt convicted in his heart that, wow, it's not what I was thinking about.
Praise God.
It's going to be to serve the kingdom of God. And yeah, that was one of the cases. The others is like, when God gives you something, not everyone will believe in you. Most of people was more like, oh, what are you talking about? God is going to provide the money. You're going to open a beauty salon. Like, I felt like some people, when I was talking to them, they were like, okay, let's see if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think also what can happen, unfortunately, with Christians is we read certain verses in the Bible. So, you know, you can take some verses from Paul in the New Testament about, you know, head covering and no jewelry and that kind of stuff, and take them out of context and not understand why they were written and who they were speaking to and maybe what the underlying meaning was as well. And then become a bit self-righteous about it when you see these things happening, thinking, oh, well, that woman's wearing makeup or jewelry to church and it's too much and she shouldn't. And actually, they've missed the point that Paul was making and also the circumstances that they were being written in. So like the head covering was specifically to women in Corinth who wore a head covering to show submission to their husband, which meant submission to God because her husband submitted to God. And it could also be about the length of their hair. It didn't have to actually be a cloth. It could be the length of your hair to show that. And it was about, are you willing to come into submission to God? So it wasn't just saying women can't do this, that, and the other. It was talking about the inner part of ourselves, which we've kind of touched on, the inner part of ourselves is so important. And I think what happens, what it should be, is that we remember always that the inner part of ourself that God touches is the most important. But it doesn't mean that the outer side bit can't be important, just that we're keeping balance what we're giving the most amount of effort to.
Absolutely. Context is so key. And I do think that in many areas, we often take scripture out of context and use it to bash people. And so often what comes up in these conversations on the podcast is, what is the intention behind you telling someone about this? And so what is the intention of you guys providing services that you provide? It's not because you're promoting Beauty as a Vantage Project, but you're doing it from this deep-hearted place of ministry that you feel like God has called you to do, which is helping women. Mariana, in your work, I know you have Christian and non-Christian clients through the Beauty Van. Are there any stories that you can share with us about women that you've come across who you've done either skincare treatments or beauty treatments with that they've left feeling empowered, or shared with you anything that has left you feeling empowered to remind you about why God put you in this place?
When I have a client coming in a room, I normally pray for the day and I ask, like, God, let me use me for this day. And I ask God to give me a scripture or word encouragement to them, and that normally boss them up. I remember she became like my friend, and she was going through abuse, and she came from a Sikh background, and she got involved with the Muslim. They had a baby, and she said to me, once she came on the salon, and she said to me, Mariana, I'm pregnant, I'm gonna do abortion. And I was like, no, you're not gonna do abortion. The church is gonna be here to support you. And in the back of her mind, she told me this before, I was like, this lady don't know my family. They don't know what they are capable to do. So she left the salon. I never heard from her again. And was one day I wake up and I felt to text her. I didn't know at the time she was in abortion clinic. And after a few days, she came in the salon and she told me, Mariana, I literally didn't know what to do. I went to abortion clinic and I did want to kill the baby. So my next step was taking the pill and start the process. When I get your text message, I feel a heat coming through my body and I couldn't do that. I ran away because I want to drink water. And outside there were two Christian ladies with the leaflets saying, don't kill your baby. So I got this as a confirmation that is not to kill my baby. She had a baby. Today she has four babies. And she always says, like, my baby is here, like, because God used you. And that's one of the stories that she was kind of an inspiration also for me for start Grace on Wheels. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, the person is not texting. It didn't appear again. We don't know what God is doing in the back. We don't really know what he's doing.
That's just incredible.
That is. We really don't know. And well done for you for kind of listening to that prompt. Because I think sometimes we can get prompts from God and it feels like, well, why would we do that? You know, you might have thought, why would I text her? I haven't heard from her for ages. But what an impact that made on her life.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much. It's been great speaking with you. And so, full disclosure, Amy did my makeup recently for a friend's wedding and it was excellent. So, Mariana, where are you based? I need to get down to you so I can get my makeup done by you or get some skincare done by you.
I'm in Morden,
Southwest London.
And also, just so everyone knows, Mariana's makeup today is absolutely stunning. I don't have a scrap of makeup on. But Mariana is.
I like to do to other people. But I just do it for myself.
No, yeah, I know, but it looks so good. Like, you're clearly very talented.
But yeah, normally I don't do for people makeup. It's just for myself.
Oh.
People ask me, I learn, but I don't practice that skill. So when people ask me what to do, I'm not sure if I can do it. Like, in me, it's fine, but other people, like, normally I just do it myself.
Okay. Well, Mariana, you'll find me at your salon for a massage pretty soon. So... before we wrap up this part of the conversation, if you can just share, both of you, where people can find your work, whether that's online or where they can get to you physically. So Mariana, if you go first, let us know about the salon or the plans that you have, and also where people can find you online, and then Amy.
So yeah, at the moment I'm being a full-time mum, so I'm not working physically in the van. And I'm praying for God, show me where you want me to open the salon. He didn't download everything, you know, being a mom with like two toddlers has been like a challenge, even like spending time with God and hearing what are the next steps for this vision, because I don't believe Grace on Wheels it finish. It's just about a level we are going, and the heart's still the same, not just for women that suffer abuse, but for moms, for women, like in general, womanless. I want to have the salon that we were able to do a makeup. I don't do hair. I'm not a hairdresser, but I would love someone that do hair. And we have the woman, someone, maybe Amy come and does a makeup and put Christians together to do this work and give a pamper to womanless women, moms we really need. And yeah, it's a few things in my heart that are still developing, but that's in the moment, it's where I am.
So Mariana, if anyone listening is interested in either supporting or being part of what you're doing, how can they get in touch with you?
They can go to my Instagram, Grace on Wheels BV from Beauty Van, and get in touch, or my website, www.graceonwheelsbv.com, and get my contact number.
Perfect. So Grace on Wheels BV, rather than, okay, perfect. And Amy, how can people find out about you?
So I kind of have two sides to my work. I have the freelance side for the fashion kind of industry stuff, which is mainly London-based work that I travel for. And my Instagram for that is Beauty Clean by Amy. But I've also, like I said earlier on, I've created a business where I actually live, which is in Shrewsbury, which is in the Midlands. And I kind of offer skincare appointments, makeup appointments, and I also do people's makeup and I work from here. So I have a studio here. And that is called Just Beautiful, which is BEYOUTIFUL. So yeah, that's kind of how you can find me. Instagram is that name.
Okay, great. Then we'll put both of those handles and your website details in the episode bio and blurb, so you can find it there if you want to get in touch with either Amy or Mariana.
Great expectations.
Okay, on to the next section of the podcast, which is called Great Sexpectations. So it's where we look at a reader question or dilemma about sex, intimacy, or relationships. This is part of a series that we run online at womanalive.co.uk every couple of weeks. And all the questions that we discuss on the podcast have been responded to already by a member of the Woman Alive panel. So when I'm asking my guests, it's just what they might say to a colleague or friend who might have the same concern. Today's question is around, how do I get over being jealous of my married friends? Dear Woman Alive, I broke up with a long-term boyfriend 2 years ago when it was evident he wasn't going to marry me. I've been single ever since, and I've begun to feel angry towards my married friends. Why did it work out for them and not for me? Also, I feel like married people all hang out together, and I often feel left out because I don't have a partner. I'm a Christian and I'm very aware of the dangers of idolizing marriage, but I just feel angry and I don't know what to do with all the emotions. So tricky situation there. Oh, Amy, go on.
I think my gut with that question is I think lots of people, and certainly Christians, often try and fix things immediately. And actually, as I was listening to that, my heart just really hurt for that lady. Like, that's really hard. Jealousy is a hard thing to deal with, but also feeling angry with God, and it sounds like there's a lot of grief in there. So part of me would just want to come alongside her and say, that's rubbish. Like, it's okay to feel pain about that. It's okay to be angry with God. God is so big, he can take us being angry with us, with him rather. I don't think he gets wounded when we have a bit of a rant at him. And my one of the things, I don't think it's the only thing, but one of the things would just be to like pour that out to God. Like let all of that out. Tell him how you feel. Don't feel like he's going to judge you and criticize you for it, because he understands the pain. He understands where she's coming from. I think there are probably other things to do about prayer and you know, thinking about the blessings that you have and kind of writing down a gratitude list or anything like that. But one thing would just be to say it's okay to feel like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, as someone, I'm divorced, so as someone who's been that married person and is now that single person still wanting to be married again, I have been in both spaces. And I think it is tricky in a church context, because often a lot of focus is on marriage and is on kind of people seem to be either married or waiting to get married. There doesn't seem to be any in between or after. So this person's obviously very aware of idolizing marriage, but I think if you have that desire, it's very hard to reconcile that with the good God that we know that we serve. Mariana, what about you? Do you have any thoughts that you might say to someone who had this issue?
I would say she's aware of idealizing marriage, and I've been in a similar situation with my husband, because I knew he was my husband and I was waiting for a while and things were not happening in the way God was telling me. So it was a journey of trust. It's a bit different, but it was a time, was literally when I laid down to God and I stopped to think, and that's when the things start to flow. The day I pray is like, God, I give him to you now. I can't go more through this. That's when God work on him. So, and sometimes when we go through situations like this, as Amy said, pour out our heart to God and remove this from me. And when we give it to God is when God is able to move, because from the moment we are making an idol of something, God is not able to move. It's okay to feel, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. So when other feelings, they start to come, we just can, you know, rely on Jesus to help us to go through the trials. As the Bible say, in this world, you have tribulations, but I overcome the world. And it can be a dark season, but God has a better plan, a better purpose, and you have someone. And sometimes it's working things in our heart, and that's why the things are not happening, because he's working on us, and he needs us to be ready, to be prepared for the person or the job he has for us. So, and that's sometimes, it's working things in our heart to trust him, and other issues we may going through, or healing, and that's why things don't happen the way we want straight away. But there is a time and a season for everything.
Mm. And I was also thinking, as you said that, Mariana, like that in that submission to God, remembering that he's the one that does it. So when we're feeling jealous or we're feeling unforgiving, when you give it to God, you kind of also have to say, like, you do this for me. Like, as a human, I don't feel capable because of the sin in my life and my own brokenness and all that stuff. And actually, when you surrender, you're genuinely saying, God, can you do this? And acknowledging your inability to do it and giving him the power.
That is such an important point about submitting to God with our desires and not trying to force things in our will. Something I'm very guilty of in many areas of my life, wanting things to happen straight away. And I also think when we idolize marriage, we can think that that is the end goal. And what I think I'm learning, so if you're listening and this is your situation or you're in a similar situation, I would personally say what I'm learning being single again after marriage is actually, marriage is not the end goal, and God is always working in us. And until you understand that marriage is not the end goal, it might just be, I'm not saying this is the case, I'm just saying it might just be that you need to get to that place of understanding so that you don't then go into the marriage and it become your everything. There's a lot of pressure on the other person, I think, as well. If marriage becomes your thing, then all the dependence on how that well that goes and your life happiness comes on that person. And that's really not the way it should be. So not to reprimand anyone, there's something I tell myself as well, but it should encourage you that God is our everything, not our wives or our husbands or our children even, or our, you know, our colleagues. God is our everything. And you know what? If you feel like married friends will hang out together, go and don't force yourself, but go and invite yourself to hang out with your married friends. Maybe they think that if they invite you, you won't want to come because you are by yourself. But if you want to, I think we both need to, we all need to make the effort.
And we can always learn from married people. Married people can learn from single people
and vice versa. Exactly, Mariana.
And also, I think that Woman Alive magazine does address this throughout your articles. And I read one of the articles a few months ago. I think it was in the lead up to Christmas about like singles holidays that you did.
Yeah.
Like, different places you can do and stuff. And actually, there's those two things. We can learn from married people and it's okay to hang out with them, or just say to the girls of the married people, do you want a girly night out? But also kind of looking into those other things that I think you can find sort of dotted amongst the pages of Woman Alive, that there are things out there that are Christian for single people, that it's okay to also turn to those things as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for that plug for Woman Alive there, Amy. Very much appreciated. Thank you both so much for being part of this podcast conversation. I feel like the conversation on beauty, skincare, makeup could be longer. We didn't really go into clean beauty, which is, Amy, is an area that you focus on. So potentially for another podcast conversation. And Mariana, would love to get you back on again, you know, in a year or so to find out what happened with your next endeavor into the beauty ministry that you are doing. But thank you both again for being on the podcast. You're now officially friends of the podcast.
Yay!
So welcome back at any time. And thank you for listening. I'll be back with more guests and topics next week.
For more inspiring conversations, articles and opinions, head to womanalive.co.uk. Woman Alive. Real women, real lives, real faith.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your app store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.